Hey, what's up, everybody? Here's another episode of Nights at the Roundtable. Today, we're going to talk about what makes a real relationship. You know, I used to think it was the wedding or it was the ring or it was these specific things that society placed big, big importance on. But we talked to our friends Mike and Vanessa, who have been together for 15 years without a wedding, without anything, just pure commitment. So it started making me think, what does make a relationship work? It has to be more than the superficial things. We dive into that and so much more. Listen in. Hope you guys enjoy it. Check out the song at the end of this episode. Check it out on iTunes. Please be sure to subscribe on YouTube. We love you guys so much. Hey, and check out our merch. That's an easy way for you guys to support what we're doing so we can keep doing it more. Just go to ManuelReyes.com. That's ManuelReyes.com. We love you so much. Here is Nights at the Roundtable. And welcome to another episode of Nights at the Roundtable. It's your boy, Man Weezy. I got my queen right next to me. And hey, because we're all on quarantining, we're doing all this from a Zoom. And our friends, which you guys won't notice because I'm going to be editing this together, but you'll notice we're all in different places. We got our friends, Mike and Vanessa, who are in Encino, right? Encino?
Encino. Yep. Right down the street from you guys.
There we go.
They're literally three houses down.
Okay. And then we got Be Real out there in Van Nuys. Van Nuys, right?
No, or North Hollywood, bro.
North Hollywood.
This is a NoHo. Let's go.
NoHo.
This is the artistic part, son.
Yeah. The arts district. You know.
We got a theater.
We got hella dancers that walk around, son.
Exactly.
Yeah, we got NoHo. YouTubers out here, bro. Up and coming.
Yeah. I love technology, and at the same time, man, I think it's crazy that this is how we have to do it, which is weird because everything that's about Nights at Roundtable is about community and all that. But it's cool that we get to do community like this. It's just a new way. This is the new normal for now. But knock on wood, it ain't gonna be for too much longer. So to get into it, what we were going to talk about today, you know, I was on, we did a couple FaceTime with a couple of friends of ours that are couples, and they were talking about, they made jokes and mention as if, they're like, man, there's a lot of people that are going to get divorced and break up from this Corona thing. And we laughed because we thought, oh man, that's funny. You know, like I didn't take them serious.
From being quarantined together,
too much time.
Either and broken up, like, or pregnant.
Yeah. Broken up or pregnant.
Or both.
And I was like, well, damn, I think, you know, I don't think they were playing as much as I thought they were. And it made me think, you know, what is it that really makes a relationship work, especially a marriage? I think for me, when I got married, the level of accountability went up so high because I knew now, not only one, I can't go nowhere, but two... I have somebody that is now a direct reflection of everything that I do on a daily basis. Like, they're going to be able to see everything I do and call me on my shit. So there's no getting away from that.
And vice versa.
But I always had this thing that I knew that marriage was more than all the stuff that we make it to be, especially the wedding industry, especially everything that they try to make it about. I remember our first big argument was because of our wedding, because Ange wanted to spend this insane amount. And I was like, I didn't make that all last year. That's not going to happen. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah. We can't do that. And that was our first big argument. Mm-hmm. And so it started getting me thinking. And if you guys don't know, Mike and Vanessa, we met Mike. He was our trainer probably like, what? Is it 3 years ago now?
Or seven.
Three? I don't know. A long time ago. And now
longer than we were living here.
So we had just moved here. So we've been living here 5 years. So it's 5 years because we just moved here. So you had to go to a different gym and you started looking up on Yelp different like trainers or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we found the most hated trainer.
Yeah, which is
Now I need a trainer.
Yeah. I went and found Mike. And so Mike's a trainer. And the whole time, it was a good minute before when we thought, you know, Mike and Vanessa, we just assumed that they were married because they acted like married folk. And then one day we found out they weren't married.
Yeah.
And like most people who cohabitate, you know, they, I guess they understand the dynamics of that relationship, but people who are like used to a typical norm of, oh, this is how you do it. You get married, you do the dress, you do the whatever. This is what makes it official.
Hell,
but you guys,
no,
you guys are living on a whole nother. Yeah. You're living in a whole nother truth, a whole nother reality to where you've been together 15 years, marriage,
15 years.
Marriage, but you're as committed as married people. So what it made me think of, damn, it has to be more than just the vows. Like, vows are cool.
Absolutely.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But vows are words. And words
Absolutely.
Without action is empty.
Yep.
So it can't be about it can't be about the words. It can't be about the wedding dress. It can't be about the wedding day. Only because I try to think, man, whenever we've had either like an argument or a hard talk or a hard whatever, never in my mind have I ever thought, man, but that wedding dress, I should probably stick it out. Or man, but we spent so much on our wedding, we should probably try to make this work. Like, I've never thought any of those thoughts. I've only thought right here and now, is this worth it?
Exactly.
But yet we spend so much time on these things. Like, I know girls that have been searching for their dress for like 8 months, planning their wedding a year, 2 years out.
True. I know girls have been searching for their dress since they were 15.
Sure. You know? Making it such a priority. And my question then is, why aren't you like, or why don't we do counseling a year out getting ready to get married? Why don't we learn conflict resolution a year out and study these things, communication, like how to dissolve a toxic situation, how to be honest with one another, like a year out, and take these classes and take it as serious as we do the dress or the venue or the ring. I mean, shoot, we'll spend, you know, however much on a ring, but then when it comes to counseling, it's like, nah, that's too expensive. But fool, you just spent 5 G's on a ring. You know what I'm saying? So that is the conversation I wanted to like approach and ask you guys, really, what do you think has been a successful key, or at least one thing that you find yourself working on more than ever to make a relationship successful?
Wow, there we could answer this so many different ways.
I know.
Well, first of all, we've been together for 15 years and a couple months, but the one thing that has made it really easy is the fact that we have the same last name. So I get my health insurance through her work, y'all. What? Don't need to buy the cow if I get the milk for free. So anyways.
I hate you.
No, but seriously, I mean, no. I think there's a little bit of background. I you know, honestly, we have really defied the odds because we really, our relationship started off really rough. We had a great first date. We always talk about, like how you say, man, you know, some people talk about that wedding date or that dress. We talk about our first date a lot because we had the best first date. Our first last date, yeah. and I'm going to be honest with you, the moment I saw her, I fell in love with her. I was like, that's Aww. It. I'm done. She was on a blind date with some other dude. And I was just like, that's mine. What are you doing over here? Move over, bacon. Here comes Sizzling, because I had to talk to her. So, I mean, but then we started dating, and unfortunately,
we had a lot of fun.
And she got pregnant.
I got pregnant really quickly.
Really quick.
So we didn't get to really get to know each other that well before we got really, really serious really quickly.
Yeah.
And that caused a lot of conflict. Like, yeah. I was treated like I was, you know, 16 and pregnant, when here I was 28 and pregnant.
28? 28, 27 around there.
Yeah, but I come from like a very strict Catholic family. And so here I am, the first of four daughters. And my parents, my grandparents, like I brought shame to the family.
Oh, wow. No.
And it was drama.
And then I walked in and they were like, oh, hell
I know,
no.
Party boy. He's not going to take care of you. You know?
Yeah.
We
actually had a lot of problems early on in our relationship because of that. We really didn't have a good beginning.
No.
But we tried. We really, really tried. And we had to get to know each other. But we defied the odds, thankfully. I mean, we're very happy now. And God, yeah. Oh, wow.
Did you guys break up during that time and then get back together? Or you just stayed together the whole time and it was tough?
There were some definitely some moments where we considered almost breaking up. Several times.
Several times.
What were the reasons? Like, can you pinpoint them? Or is there like a common thread?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Well, I remember, I mean, one, like the arguments were pretty much the same. We just had different styles of communication. And what?
Nothing at all.
I mean, I come from, like, my dad's a psychologist. We talk about our feelings a lot. And he would just, you know, bottle them up. And so he would just have these explosions. ¿Cierto o no?
No cierto.
And instead of, like, talking it out, like, hey, you know what? Like, this, you know, let's talk about this. I mean, I'm not perfect. Please don't.
Thank you.
That.
I was waiting for that. Oh my God.
But we honestly just have, and it's better now.
It's better.
But
now.
We definitely had a lot of issues with communication.
We had. So you think communication is the one thing that.
We had a different way of communicating, honestly. Mm-hmm. We just really had a different way of communicating. I didn't like the way she wanted to. She didn't like the way I wanted to. We just had, and then that would lead into the next level of argument. And then it turned into kind of like it started looking like, you know, a web of all these different arguments. It started branching out into all these things. And then we were arguing for so much, we forgot what we were originally arguing about, you know? So we fell into that a lot, but I'm going to be honest with you, what always brought us back were our kids, you know? Mm. Our kids really kept us together. That's one. And two, I loved her. I love her very much. I couldn't imagine my life being without her. You know, it would break my heart thinking about that.
What would you say, and this will be for Oz B as well, what would you say your communication style is? Because you said you didn't like how she communicated. She didn't like how you communicated. So what would you say her communication style is, and let's see if she agrees, and what do you say your communication style is?
All right, you're about to see an example of an argument in a second. you guys are just asking shots fired. No, but you know what? I'm gonna be honest, and you could disagree with me, and that's fine. With Vanessa, she likes the drama. I mean, it's very – see what I'm saying? It's like, for me, I was like, what's the goal here? What are we trying to find out here? What are you mad about? Okay, that's what you're mad about. Okay, well, she wants an apology every single time. And if I feel like, hey, I'm not going to say sorry for something I did wrong, but I am going to say we have to just disagree. That's it. And no, hell no with her. She wants that apology for what? When I'm saying I didn't do anything wrong. Right. You know, and then I'd be like, after 3 hours later, I'm like, fine, you want a sorry then? I'm sorry. There you go. And then.
Which is very not sincere. So.
Oh, see, now I have to say it. Okay.
Corazón.
Corazón. And now she's like, I don't feel it. I'm like, oh my God. And now we're fighting about how we say sorry.
No, that's honestly, right. Tone. A lot of it has been tone. Like, how do you say it? My dad would always tell us, like, you have to use your social antennas. So make sure to figure out.
Look at his face.
Look at his face. And so, because do you hear how he gets, like, he just has a naturally, like,
oh my God, do you hear her?
He's just very strong. And so sometimes when he's, like, trying to communicate something, he could be saying, like, I love you so much. But instead he's like, I love you so much. It's like, oh, God, what are you saying? You know, so tone, I am one who definitely takes tone into consideration. And it's sometimes it can be a little complicated.
He has a lot of passion.
Yes. But all the message can be,
I have that problem. I have that problem.
Yeah.
B, what would you say your communication style is, and what's Maddie's?
I process things at a very quick level. Like, I'm very in touch with, like, what I'm feeling in the moment, what is possibly my next step in that. And Maddie is, like, just the opposite. She's just like, shit, I don't even know how I feel. And I'm like, how do you not know what you feel, you know? And early on, man, that used to get so annoying because sometimes I'd be like, hey, let's hash this thing out right now. Cause like, I want to get to the resolution. Like, I don't care about being right. I just want us to like this connection to feel like we're connected right now. And so when there wasn't any resolution, it always felt like, well, our connection is based off us arriving at kind of the same point of like, hey, this is where we stand on common ground and this is where we're not so much. And so for Maddie, she's had to get used to me like probing, asking questions to try and get her.
That's me.
That's her, dude.
I gotta like, I am going to, if I can't tell you where to arrive, I'm going to ask questions to make you feel like you're on this journey to arrive to understand with what you're feeling.
Let me ask you something.
How does Maddie respond to that? Does she go with you or is she like, why are you asking me all these questions?
No, she does. Cause she just, she understands. I think, and that comes down to the biggest thing is like, she trusts my heart in that. It's like, I'm trying to understand where you're coming from. So these questions aren't me trying to prove something like, yeah, what I said, you should listen to it in the first place. Mm. It's more of like, hey, you need to understand this about yourself or whatever it is we're talking about.
Manny's approach is the same way, but I say I feel like I'm on the stand, like I'm on the witness stand. Gotcha. And I, instead of him asking me questions, I feel like he's questioning me. And then I'll be like, okay, what's the answer you're trying to get me to? Just tell me what you want me to say.
Look,
that's me.
B said something very, very, very key. He said, she comes along because she trusts me. She trusts that my heart is not to try to be right, not to try to prove you wrong, but it's that he wants to get to the bottom of how she's feeling. So that is an ongoing thing with me and Ange where I'm like, at what point are you going to believe that I am on your side? Because you keep, like, you're defensive from one. And I know why she's defensive. People get defensive when they don't have answers for questions that you ask. Because they either feel dumb because they don't have the answer. They feel attacked because they don't have the answer. And so their defense method is up. For me, if I don't know the answer, I'll find the answer.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't feel attacked. It's just I don't have the answer right now. I'll get back to you.
I feel attacked.
So she feels attacked no matter how many times, no matter how I ask her the questions.
Man, I wish I can say I'm going to get back to you on that.
But,
hold on. Let me give you an example. Like, let's say an argument for us starts at around 8:37 p.m. You know, we put the kids to sleep. You know, I go take a shower. We're still going at it. It's around 11:35 p.m. and we're still going at it. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to bed. She goes, fine. She goes to the living room. I don't see her. I fall asleep. I'm in la-la land. She comes to bed around 3:30 in the morning. I wake up around 6:35 a.m. I just open up my eyes. I just move a little bit, and she feels that I'm awake. So, what about last night? We didn't finish it. I just opened up one eye, didn't even have time to scratch it from all the stuff in it, and she's already questioning me. That's her. She cannot wait.
My mind just goes on on and on. Yeah, like, I need to get, I like resolution.
No,
I
you don't like resolution. Like you to like learn. To. You like, you learn by it. I love you so much, right?
No, but for me, it's also like, let's address it and like, let's move on from this. But let's learn
from
it.
Did you just say move on from this?
Yeah, you can. But you can't if it just keeps going on and on.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Mike. Here's the thing to prove, or not to prove Vanessa's point, but to be a devil's advocate. There's a lot of times that I keep things going, and the reason I keep things going, and here's the irony of it all, is because I feel like Ange isn't understanding what I'm saying. The reason I feel that she's not understanding what I'm saying is because her actions are dictating to me that she doesn't understand, nor is she listening to what I'm saying.
And also, it is part of your Enneagram number that your characteristic is to be understood. So that is
that's probably
desires.
Shared from every human being. I don't know a human being that doesn't want to be understood.
Of course, but we have to acknowledge that in your characteristic, in your wiring, you have a heightened sense of needing to be understood.
Correct.
So there is a little
bit
of
here's why I feel I need to be understood, because you know how you guys said earlier that you have the same argument over and over and over? So that would be us, and Angela's opinion is this is just how it is. My opinion is it doesn't have to be this way. So when I'm trying to tell you something, right, and you tell me, I got it. And she would make fun of me all the time. She'd be like, Manny just goes over and over. He keeps going and going. And then I'm like, oh, but that's interesting. We keep having the same fight over and over. So where's the breakdown? You tell me I keep going and going and I'm annoying because you've already understood it, but I keep pounding you. But then I ask you, hey, what am I trying to say here? She cannot answer. What hurt me about this? She cannot answer. Why did you do this again when I already told you 15 times this is what hurts me and you still did it? So you're showing me actions that you did not listen at all to what I said was important to me. But yet you are annoyed with me when I try to regurgitate the message. And that is the ultimate disconnect. Because if I tell you I hear you, you don't have to tell me again. And then I do not prove any action that I heard you, why would the other person then be like, oh yeah, she heard me? You wouldn't, because your actions are not proving that you heard, understand, or want to change the thing that is hurting the other person. So I think that's something that you have to self-reflect on. If she's continuing to bring something up, you have either addressed it, which then she won't have to bring it up again, or you keep ignoring it, which is why she keeps bringing it up, or the other person is bringing it up, because they feel unheard. That's why I keep bringing it up. We're getting better now because Ann started going to therapy and started realizing...
Like, I've been going to therapy for years.
I didn't mean that like you're crazy.
First of all,
I'm just saying.
But just we started to get better because also he's learning how to communicate without doing this with his nostrils.
I didn't mean that in a negative way. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like, oh, finally this trick got therapy. I'm not saying that
at all. Ange, can you take Vanessa?
I'm trying to take him.
Does that make sense though? Babe, but speak on that, because you know that's I'm being accurate as far as like what like in processing it. Cause, and the reason I say this is because I told her this and she hates, no couple likes being told what's wrong with the situation or what's wrong. Like one of them knows what's going on. And I would tell her, I know what's going on. I know why this is happening.
No, you know, I think it is important for you to ask yourself, am I doing this? Am I this way? You know, am I causing some of this? You know, it is important. You have to identify the question. You have to ask those questions to yourself. You know, because if these things keep coming up over and over, you got to ask. Like Vanessa has told me things over and over again in the past, and I literally had to ask myself, am I that way? Am I what she describes, you know? And many years ago, I came to the conclusion that, yeah, there's some truth to what she said about me. And I tried doing my best to change that, because if that's what's going to make her happy, then it's going to make me happy. You know, right. So now every time before I come to the house, I give her a call and ask her, what is there anything I can do for you while I'm out here? Because that was one of the things.
Yeah.
But well, do you really mean it? Do you mean it? The way that you're saying it? No, just kidding.
But do you want to go to Whole Foods for me?
That reminds me of the breakup, the movie Vince Vaughn, where she's like, I wanted 11 lemons. He's like, well, I bought you 6. Why do you need 11 lemons? Like, I was trying to make a centerpiece. And he's like, so we're not even eating the lemons? We're just using them for decoration?
Or how about when he goes, do you guys
have anything you and Maddie, like a through line argument, something that you guys always find yourself going back to?
You know, it's mostly little things now. A lot of the major things, I feel like, again, we'll go through changes, and probably in a year or two, we'll probably have another major one or whatever. But right now, it's been mostly just minor stuff. So it's like little things that I do that I'm unaware of. Like, it's so funny how our ego tricks us into thinking we know ourselves better than we actually do. Mm. And I think that's why it's so powerful having a partner, is because most of the time when they're saying stuff about us, it's probably right. And it's because, like, it's if I were to ask you guys, hey, what are the biggest ways that you show love? And one partner would say, well, I do the dishes. Well, I take the trash out or whatever. And you would look at their partner, their spouse, and their partner or spouse probably rolling their eyes a little bit, because our ego presents this fantasy of what we really believe about ourselves, which some of the time is not actually true. And that's not actually reality. So little things that I do, like I leave cupboards open I leave drawers open sometimes. And I like, in my mind, I think, nah, I close that. Like, why would somebody leave that open? I just got a glass to get a drink. Like, whatever. And Maddie will be literally right behind me. And I'm like, hey, are you good? Like, what are you standing behind me for? She's like, I'm just going to close this drawer. I'm just going to close this cupboard. And I was like, I was going to do it, you know?
You didn't let me finish.
Yeah. You didn't even give me a chance, babe. But it's been mostly little things like that. But it's weird because recently I've just really been discovering. I'm like, oh, actually, I don't know myself as well as I thought I did. And a lot of the little things that Maddie points out in me is it's not to try and be critical of me. It's actually like, yo, this is a mirror to discover I'm not as good as I thought I really was. And this is also an opportunity for me to grow and to be better for her. That's why I think like having that person there is such a powerful thing, because I think someone said it earlier, it's like built-in accountability.
Yeah.
So for Maddie and I, it's mostly just been little things that we're just trying to hash out. And the other thing too, man, that Maddie's amazing at, like I'm not as good at, I'm a little bit like, hey, let's finish this conversation. Maddie will just drop stuff and go. Like, won't even hold really a grudge against me the rest of the night or anything like that. Like, we could get into it. And she's like, all right, it's whatever. Let's move on to whatever's next.
That must and, be so nice.
Dude.
Must be so nice. I love she, that. Wow.
I'm so good at that.
Oh, my God.
I'm not so good at that because I'm trying to still process this whole thing in my mind or whatever. And I think part of that maybe comes from Maddie's background. You know, there was so much family drama growing up for her. And I think in order for her to actually thrive in that kind of situation, she had to be really good at letting things go.
That's
because
good.
If she'd have held on to things, dude, it would have been just like a very shitty childhood. And so I think that's just like, it's not something that she tries to do. It's just like, hey, I've been doing this my whole life. Like, I've experienced way more drama than this. And the other thing about her that I really appreciate too is she's not super emotional when it comes to these little back and forths that we have. She's a lot like her dad in the sense it's like, it's very logical, very rational. So we can actually like approach things from a standpoint of saying, okay, this isn't working. Let's look at it from this way. And she's like, okay, yeah, I get it. And so I think that's helped our dynamic a lot, especially when it comes to the major things that we've had to hash out.
Gosh, I wish. Listen, I am working on those things in therapy and working on figuring out why I get so triggered. And my therapist has explained it as the limbic brain and some other brain, but she like talks about your brain like this. And once you start getting triggered, like Manny could say something and maybe it's less about what he said and more about what it triggered from my childhood, from whatever in my past. And then slowly all like my receptors start getting disconnected. And then once you get here, then it's forget it. You need at least 20 minutes to come back down, because when you're here, you're not in your rational brain.
Right.
You're not saying anything or even receiving information rationally. You're here already. So you need some time to just come back and get reconnected. And so I'm working now to figure out what are the things that make me do this and how do I get less of this. And so I'm working out. I'm working on calling time out when I get to right about here. And I go, okay, let me stop before I go here. Let's just pause right here. And so I'm working on trying to find what are those things in me that I can work on myself. Because, gosh, I would love to have some of that gift that Maddie has of just being rational the whole time.
Angie, I got to commend you on that. That's actually, it takes a lot of courage for you to, you know, go and work on that, because a lot of people can't really admit that to themselves. You know, a lot of people, it's a lot of it is egos. Like, I'm not wrong, they're wrong, you know? And I really do wish that maybe you can call Vanessa up one day and have a little girls' night at your therapist and take her along with you, because that would be so grateful. I would be so grateful. I mean, just like a little girls' night at therapy office, that's about it. But no, but good job, right. Angie, good job.
You're Thank right. You. Most people are so good at remembering the thing that
their partner has done wrong, and they just can't for anything remember anything that they've done wrong. And one thing I always tell Ange, I was like, I think most of our arguments, when they start from this end, from my end, I know why we argue on my end. And 99% of the time, it's because I assume that she should know things that I know. Like, there's a lot of things that I know that I'm just like, you don't know that? Like, how do you not know that? Like, this is so common sense to me. Right. If it's not, if she isn't like clicking, then I'm like, I'll literally get annoyed and like angry. Like, how can you not know? Like, I almost did it just before we started this podcast. Something so small of like, take, like, we have two chairs, one on the right, one on the left. I'm setting up on the right. She's on the left. She takes the right chair and moves it over to her side. And I'm like, why'd you take the right chair when there's one right there? And she's like, I don't know. I just, and I was so annoyed. Like, this is common sense. But yeah, I'm,
you know,
like,
it just goes to show you, everybody's different, you know?
Exactly. So, and to presume that my way should be the duh or the common sense way is not at all common sense, because I look at things different.
It's funny because that's ego.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like, hey, I'm right, you know, and this is kind of, or the lens through which I'm viewing everything, this is the standard.
Right.
As to say, in some ways, it's like, hey, I'm better. And
yeah, I have to catch myself. I have to catch myself a lot and be like, oh, I'm not, I don't know everything. And that's one thing I really started like practicing is letting go of the I know everything. There's things that I know. There's things that I'm very well versed in. I'm a smart dude. But I guarantee you, give me 2 years and I'll probably be changing my mind about everything that I thought I knew. And I'll be like, oh man, I didn't know what I thought I knew. Yeah. I knew for that moment a little bit. Then I lived some more life and I gained some more knowledge and I realized, man, I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. I need to reserve my presumption of me knowing everything, because I don't. And I need to shut my mouth, because I don't want to be embarrassed when 2 years later I have to call myself out and be like, damn, remember when I swore I knew? Or forget it, let God humble me and me make a horrible mistake where it's like it cost us so much money and I'm like.
But you have gotten better at that, because one of our big arguments early on in marriage, which we haven't had lately, was I would get so triggered that he would speak as if what he was saying was the gospel. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would tell him, because he would be sharing his opinion, but sharing it as if it was the gospel. And what he says is right, even though what he's saying is your opinion. And then so I would say things like, well, in your opinion. Well, yeah, it's my opinion. That's why I'm saying it. And I'm like, well, then stop saying it like those are facts from the encyclopedia, because you're pissing me off right now.
Yeah.
But you've gotten better at that, because you don't just talk like,
when she says
you're
we haven't
professor.
Argued about that lately, it's years. It's been years.
But that's what I'm trying to give you props saying.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
you've
I know.
Better.
I'm just trying to throw a jab at you and say that it's been a longer than lately. Just throwing jabs, but
this
they're
so,
loving jabs.
This is so entertaining.
they're loving jabs.
I'm up here trying to.
They're loving
you know,
jabs.
Stroke the ego. And I'm then
they're 100%.
It's not good enough for him.
No, yeah. I'm good. No, I like working on myself. I think there's something beautiful to be said. Like, if I'm still the same dude in 5 years, and we're still arguing about the same things, like I don't like that. Which was what I was saying before. I was like, babe, we don't have to be arguing about the same things. We really don't. All we got to do is hear each other. That's
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess. I mean.
Wait, I was going to say something about what Ange said earlier about how you're getting to, I think one of the major things that happened with us was realizing when you're like, when you reached that point, is just saying time out and say, you know what, stop, let's take a break.
But time out to you is us taking a time out and then you start texting me over and over again during our time out.
No.
That's not a time out.
That's different.
How's that timeout?
No, but like when we fit, like when
I'm
we
gonna
get
put my mouth on timeout, but I'm gonna get my trigger fingers out.
Wait, Vanessa though, do you have a fear that Mike will not come back to the conversation? Because I had that problem with Ange. She would call a timeout because that was a nifty little therapy trick, and then she would never bring it back up. So she would just call the timeout so that she can get me to shut up. I will respect the timeout, and then we never talk about it again until the next argument. So do you have that same fear?
I'll let you answer.
I don't have that fear because I'm like, I want to get to the answer. I want to get to the resolution.
Remember that little story about her waking up at 6:37 in the morning? Yeah. Boom!
Yeah.
Like.
But if you didn't, but let me ask you this. If she didn't, Mike, like, would you ever come back?
Me?
And address? Yeah. Would you be like, let's finish that combo?
No, we literally had an argument like a week and a half ago. I left the house and, you know, I literally came back in, started fixing myself dinner, sat down, talked to the kids, said, hey, how's everybody going?
Okay, so see,
but
that's...
There was no resolution.
That's
like,
the
just
problem.
Left.
That's
exactly.
The problem.
And it left me hanging with all this energy, like...
That's the biggest problem, which is something that when we were in therapy together, that's what the therapist had to point out. Because I was like, the reason why I don't want to stop the conversation and I keep going is because I know that if I stop, she will never bring it back up. She just won't. She'll just keep it going on her life. And there'll be this heaviness of like, I either have to accept one of two things. Either A, she forgot, or B, she just doesn't care enough about me to resolve this. And I think both are kind of like the same answer, to be honest. Because if you forget what is important to the other person, or you just ignore it, when shit blows up in the future, or when you find that person just like so distant or so whatever, you cannot blame that other person. You can't. You're going to have to take your stripes. Because if someone's crying out for help or crying out for communication, and then all of a sudden you realize that person don't want to talk to you no more, or that person's so far gone that you don't even feel love from them anymore, it's because at some point or another, I feel that you've ignored the cries for so long that it's kind of like they just gave up.
I get what you're saying, Manny. I really do. And I'm not going to, I've been joking around a lot, and I'm not going to turn this one into a joke because I think it's personal for us. But like, I would love to come back to the conversation if, holy shit, I'm about to get in trouble. If we can talk about it and there was a light at the end of the tunnel, if we could come to a conclusion, either, okay, I agree with you, I'm sorry for my part, chapter close. Instead of not knowing, well, what's the goal of this? What are we trying to, you know, like, for example, I'll just say, like, if I'm really, I don't agree with that, and you want me to agree with you, and I'm not going to agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just agree to disagree. That's it. I still love you. I'm not going anywhere. I don't want to go anywhere. The thought of breaking up with you doesn't even come across my mind. I love you. I love my kids. I love my family. Let's just have some ice cream and just chill. But, you know, but it's very hard for us to get to that. It is. It's very, very hard because I am the type of person that I will forget about it. I'll come back in like because there is a little hope in me that she'll maybe forget about it, which is not going to happen. But it's because I just don't want to argue with her. I hate arguing with her. I really hate it. I love just hanging out with her. I love waking up with her happy. I love going to bed with her happy. You know, I just don't like to do it. And so I will act as if everything's all good. You know,
I think it comes down to a few things. It comes down to personality traits and communication styles. For instance, me being like a peacemaker, I don't like confrontation. So I'll never be eager to come back to a confrontational situation. Like, exactly. That's not in
that
my
sense.
Blood,
exactly.
You know? And it's not a big disrespect on you. Like, I don't care about you. I don't whatever. It's literally in my hard wiring. I am not... the type of person to be like, all right, round two, let's go, you know? And so I think it's a little bit of that. But then also another thing I learned from my therapist was that we have history and trauma and memory banks, right? So we have the trauma knowing that in this conversation is argument and fighting and whatever. So if I come back, like all the, like wherever I'm storing that in my body is, I know conflict is as soon as these words come out of my mouth. So it's a lot of fighting against your own hardwiring and then fighting against trauma that you have from the memory of the argument you got in before you went on that drive to come back to Vanessa. You know what I mean? It's stored in your body. Yeah. So we have, it's not just about person in person, but it's, we're fighting within ourselves, our own ego, our own trauma, our own hardwiring. So we have a lot when we're talking about what does it take to stay connected and stay together. You're right. It's not necessarily the vows. It's work. Relationship is work.
Oh yeah.
Not just a lot of work with each other. Work on ourselves. We have to like go through I think the weeds more, to get to each other.
More work on ourselves than anything. Because the reality of it is you cannot change the other person.
Yeah.
You cannot. True. You have zero ability to change them. You can hope all day long that they'll see you, hear you, feel you. It will never do anything. The only thing you can do is model the type of behavior that you would like to be given. That's
100%.
It. If you want somebody to listen to you, then you have to listen. If you want somebody to forgive you, you have to be forgive forgive them. And that's one thing that I've always, at least in my relationships or and especially with my wife, when I ask for something, I ask with utter and full confidence because I don't ask for nothing that I'm not already giving. Because I know it's hypocritical. And you know what made me think that? Like it was way back in the day when I was a kid. I used to have this PE coach. He was fat as hell. Fat. But he would always ask me to work out and get in shape. And he was my JV coach for basketball in high school. And he would bust my balls because I wasn't whatever enough. And I'm looking at this guy who can't like walk 10 feet without having to stop and heavy breathe. And I'm like, this fat a-hole is trying to tell me that I'm not in shape. And it didn't make sense to me. And then I had another friend who was overweight and would always tell me, yeah, man, I want a hot chick with skinny waist and big boobs. And I'm looking at him like, bruh, like, really? You want what you're not willing to give? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And so it really registered to me, like, if I'm going to ask something of someone else, I better be willing to give it. Or else it is absolutely unfair, it's hypocritical, and I won't get anywhere with it. So when I ask for communication, when I ask to be understood, or when I ask whatever, I know I'm willing to do the work. Mm. You know, so when Ange tells me, babe, this is bothering me, she knows it, I know it. Like there's a history of proof of like, I change because I would love it when I said, baby, this is hurting me, that she approaches it like I do. Which is immediate. I don't wait. I don't have this time of where I'm like, let me see. I'll change when it feels okay for me to change. Nah, she tells me something. And it's typically because it's gotten to a point where anytime where I had to change, it's gotten to like a very pivotal point in our relationship. Like it's like, scary. And instantly I think of the fear of like losing her or her like leaving or whatever. And my whole body goes into shambles. I mean, I get sick, you know, like sick. And I have to change immediately because I feel like it's dire. I feel like it's literally at that point where I'm like, oh, I got to change or I'm going to lose her. And there's nothing that is in me, no viewpoint, no ideology, no whatever, that's worth holding on to if it means I'm going to lose her. You know,
that means honestly picking up the mirror and asking yourself those questions. You know, is there truth to what this person says about me? You know, do I need to make some changes?
And I trust her. Nine times out of ten, when she tells me it's real, like I don't have no reason to not trust her. There's never been a time that she's ever tried to like tell me something to hurt me, like to make me worse. She's not like telling me, yo, you do this. And she's just trying to tell me so that I'll become a worse person so that she can later on point out that I'm a bad person. You know, it's usually like something to better me. And I'm like, it sucks to hear it, But at the same time, I kind of look at it with pride. And it's something else that I wanted to bring up. She makes fun of me because I don't consider arguments arguments. I don't like using the word argument. I don't, because it has a negative connotation. So when you hear the word argument, it denotes that there are two people on opposite sides that are coming at each other. And when it comes to marriage, I never want to be on the opposite side. I want to be on the same side in a huddle talking about the disagreement, so that when I get to the scrimmage, when I get to the line, we're still going against the world, because it's us against the world. So I don't see anything as an argument. I just see it as a discussion, because at the end of the day, I'm not really going to land, even though I might ideologically land on another side, like the agree to disagree thing, but it doesn't mean I'm switching teams. We're still on the same team. So I'm agreeing to us, even though I don't agree with these specific things that you may agree with. So when I agree with us, that means I'm approaching this on the same side as you. We're never on opposite sides, which is why I don't like to use the word argument. They're just discussions. They're just getting to know each other more. That's all they are for me.
Hmm. No, cool. We have arguments.
Same.
Not for me.
There are discussions, and then there's arguments.
Talking loudly are not discussions. Yelling at me is not discussion.
That's just being Latino.
It's being passionate. My parents talk loud. It's just how they talk. It doesn't affect me like that. What's being said.
When we're at his family's house, I've woken up so many times to them not arguing, but just talking very Puerto Rican-like in the kitchen. And I'll be like, babe, stop yelling at your parents. And he's like, I'm not yelling at them. But they're both like way up here being Papa, no, why? And all, oh my God.
Mira, coño, chico, así viene el sandwich.
All of that.
If I had to say one thing, like if it came down to one thing, I can speak for me, but each of y'all can speak for yourself. I feel like nothing can make or break a relationship more than communication. That I think it's higher than physical, sex, anything, money, whatever. Because I know money and sex are the top two reasons people get divorced, which Ange, you know, pointed out. And I was like, babe, I don't know if we have to study that. I think we have to study the thing that keeps people together.
I like to study more sex.
I think communication, because the thing about sex, it's communication about sex that makes it all worth
it.
It's communicating and being understood and being heard that I feel really makes people connect and stay. My opinion.
Are you saying being heard that you want more sex? Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's communication about sex. Yeah. It's more important than the sex itself.
Dude, because I communicate every night trying to communicate with her. What do you mean? Yo, baby, what's up? Oh, my son's in the other room. Sorry.
I think really, like, if you know, it's not the money that breaks people apart or the sex. It's the lack of communication of those things, of the expectation of those things. So we it's just like when we talk about the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not the love of money. You know, it's not money that it is. It's your attitude towards money. So in the same way with relationships, it's your attitude towards communication. And are you willing to be wrong? Is it okay to be wrong? Is it okay to be wrong?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. No,
it's learning from it though too.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I always tell Vanessa when we have loud discussions that, you know, hey babe, I don't care. I'm not trying to argue to be right. I'm not trying to make you wrong. I'm just trying to tell you how I feel. And if I disagree, it's nothing's wrong with that. You know, I still love you. You know, I'm not gonna, you know, take off and never come back. You know, that's but she just gets mad when I don't disagree with her. So, you know.
No, that's not, I mean, I feel like honestly our discussions, arguments have gotten a lot better throughout the years. Like they haven't been as extreme as they were
in our
first 5 years.
Like, yeah, last 5 years, like they used to get to the point where, you know, Vanessa would start talking about breaking up every single time.
Yeah, it was really bad.
You know, and now we haven't talked about that in a long time, you know? So,
yeah.
And I remember the last time we talked about that. So we had a really great discussion.
Yeah.
A calm discussion about, you want to bring it up?
don't know what you're talking about.
No, well, of course I'd remember them. I mean,
everything.
I remember I had a conversation because Vanessa would always bring up, what are we doing together then? What are we doing? You know, and honestly, you know, she had one foot out the relationship, you know, and I kind of did sometimes, but I never wanted to go anywhere. I loved her. You know, I loved her from the moment I saw her. I was in love with her and I knew that was mine. That's who I wanted to be with. I dreamt about her my whole life. And I finally got her, and I didn't want to go away. I didn't want to go anywhere. And I remember I had a really good conversation, 2017, January. I remember now, right before we met you guys in Spain. I told her, I was like, you know what? You always bring up breaking up. I'm getting tired of you bringing it up all the time. If that just means that you have one foot out the door. If you want to go, I'm not going to stop you anymore, because I felt like I was fighting for us a lot because I didn't want to go anywhere. And, she actually heard that, and she actually says, yeah, you're right. I told her, if you have one foot out the door, you're not concentrating on me. You're not concentrating on us. Yeah. You're looking at the door and maybe looking at me, not knowing which way to go. And if you're doing that, then you're not here. So you're not going to put it in 100%. So if you want to go, we'll figure out how to be parents to our kids. You know, we'll figure that out. You know, I'm on your side as far as being a parent. And she came to me a couple days later, says, you're right. You know, and I wasn't trying to be right, but she's like, you're right. I do have one foot out the door. And
because it changed how you address things and how I saw us, you know, instead of me going to that extreme, like, oh my God, what are we doing together if we can't even, you know, talk about little things. And it made me realize, you know what? He has a point. Like I can't be thinking like this is the end. Let's see what we can do between us, how we can work things out, how we can come to a resolution without it getting to that extreme, and for me to start change my thinking. So that was definitely a game changer.
That changed. That one single from that conversation moment, changed our whole relationship.
Yeah.
Isn't that really insane did. Though how it's all it wasn't some magical thing. It was just putting down, like what B said, putting down the ego for 1 minute to take in the other person's heart and be like, they're right. I feel like there is such a fear of being wrong that we will die on the cross to be right. And then we'll end up alone, but we'll be right. And the only thing we'll have is our friends, and we'll keep telling them, yeah, you know, but I was right. And he was wrong, and he did this. Yeah, but you're alone. Like, you're alone in your life. Like, who cares about being right when you're alone? Yeah. You know, it's, I just don't think it's worth, now there are, now let me preface that. There are things that are worth being right and alone for. Like, if you're getting your butt abused and that, and her or him are out, and they're freaking cheating on you nonstop, yes, it's okay to be right and alone. But I'm talking about in the internal, in the stuff that you know that you have those consistent arguments about, that you will die on your sword. You will be like, nope, I'm right. But you'll end up right and alone. And that's something that I don't think it's worth it. I think if we can look past our ego and realize that the person that we're with, and this comes down to what Brandon said that Maddie felt about him, is it ultimately comes down to trusting the other person. Do they have pure love towards you and want to see you better? And if you believe that, then you'll trust what comes out of their mouth, that it's for your betterment. Like the Bible says, you know, wounds from a friend can be trusted. Like, they're going to have to say some stuff and you're going to have to get hurt, but they can be trusted because that person has good intention towards you. If you don't think that they have good intention towards you, then the communication will never get to where it needs to be. And the relationship won't ever get to where it needs to be, because you'll always have this reserves of mistrust and anger. And anytime you need to, you'll pull from it.
Yeah, I also think that it a lot of it is how one approaches the other person too. Like, is it the time? Is it the, you know, because you can be like at a party and all of a sudden, you know, you hear, not necessarily, I can't even think of a specific example.
Because that's never happened.
But, or, you know, it's just like not an appropriate time to discuss it. And then the reaction is like, of pure defensiveness because it's like, what the hell? You're talking to me right now about this stuff? Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is, you know, and you get upset because you're like, is it the time? Is it like, is it perfect right now? Can I talk to you about this? So
because it's never the right time. It's never the right time.
Because it's like, I'm working or...
She's like, I'm watching The Handmaid's Tale. I'm like,
I'm into it. Leave me alone.
I'm like, hey, babe. I'm like, babe, is this the right time? She's like, I'm walking from the kitchen to the living room. No, it's not the right time.
That's not true.
that used
it's
to be.
Never
me.
The right time.
No, like, no, there is. But, you know.
Obviously, right, of the couples what here, Maddie and I are, the youngest, right? Oh, man. Every time I try to say something.
No, we can hear you.
Oh, okay.
We can hear you, but you're just frozen on camera.
Awesome. Keep talking now.
Okay, yeah. I felt like early on that got me in trouble because, again, now I understand when Maddie is the most receptive to me wanting to have a serious conversation. And it's just trying to, like, have the wisdom to navigate, is this the right context? Is this the right moment? And then also understanding, okay, how do I phrase it in a way that she doesn't shut down on me, but she's the most open to receive from me. And again, that's the other, I feel like, part of communication is understanding when and also what not to say. Because, again, that's it. And so I'm learning a lot, especially when it comes to that, of like, I know, I'm like, you know what? We'll probably have this conversation at the end of the week. As much as I would love to have it right now, I just know, hey, Maddie's dealing with some things. She's stressed right here. So she probably won't be thinking about, hey, how's Brandon feeling right now? It might be more of like, hey, I feel so overwhelmed right now. I'm over my head. I'm not in a place to have this conversation. And so understanding context and then also how to phrase it. And I feel like that's one of the huge things.
That is so
things.
True. Because I remember our last argument, me and Ange, I... for whatever reason, had to have this discussion right before she put herself on tape for some audition.
Ah, man.
I don't know what it was. Oh, it was something dumb. It was, the tripod. She put the phone in the tripod and pulled the phone out of the tripod and the whole phone carrier thing came out of the tripod. And I was like, what happened? She goes, I don't know. It just came out. And I'm like, it didn't just come out. You pulled it out. Just say you pulled it out. And she really got upset because she thought I was accusing her of breaking the thing. And I'm like, no, it was just funny to me that something came out that you pulled and you said, oh, it just came out. And so it was something so small, something so trivial. And I thought it was funny. She did not think it was funny. She got real pissed. And then we turned in her audition and her agents were like, yeah, this came out really like you were upset. Like you're channeling some kind of obsession.
And I didn't book it because he don't know when to choose the right time.
I did feel bad in that aspect because, my bad.
Mm-hmm. And also, you got to pick your battles too. Sometimes.
That's no, it was so stupid. Yeah, I just thought it was funny.
It was not funny.
Yeah, it was dumb.
At all. Yeah.
That's one thing that we say to each other. Is it a big thing or is it a small thing?
No, that's what I say to you.
And sometimes it's like, okay, just shut up, breathe, and then it'll go away. And then sometimes I'm like, no, let's talk about it.
Sorry.
That is true. So when when your friends ask you then, you know, because I know, Mike, you told me this. You was like, why, like, how do you guys stay? Because again, like I said at the beginning of the episode, like, all the things that we focus on that we think makes a marriage, when we actually get into the marriage, we realize, man, it's very much other things. Like to me, like I remember, when, you know, as Christians, we made jokes like this, that it's like before you got married, you know, you're technically not supposed to be sleeping with each other. Then in your mind, you're like, oh, once we get married, it's on, you know, it's about to be popping. Then you get married and you realize, man, there's a lot of things that take you out of the mood quickly when you're married. that it's like instantly, it's stress, it's work, it's all these things that is not as sexy as like when you're single and you ain't with that person the whole day. You're just out there doing your own life and you thinking about them. So it's like easy to be like, yeah, when we get together for those 3 hours, it's going to be on and then you leave. But now when you're married, it's not, because you're seeing your other person in every situation. You wake up in the morning, she's taking her morning dump. You know, you got to be like, oh, that's not as sexy as the Instagram girls. You know, like, do they take craps too? Like, do they take craps? Does it smell? I be, you know, like, and then by the end of the day, life has led you to this place where it's like, it's not always that sexy. So I know it's not,
you know,
the things
what?
That we.
You got to keep it sexy, man. You know what?
Oh, sure. But what? OK, good point. What is keeping it sexy?
Yeah.
Well,
you because know, I don't know. I don't know if it is just staying. Like I know fit. I mean, keeping yourself in some type of sexy state is great. But I think you can be hot as hell. But if you're ugly, you know, if you're bringing out ugly, I don't think. Ooh. I don't think that makes it sexy.
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I love my wife every which way, whatever she wears, except for these ugly pajamas that she has. When I know she has these ugly pajamas, I'm like, oh, I ain't getting anything tonight, dude.
But they're so comfortable.
But, I mean, they're so comfortable. Man, I was like, damn, she got those pajamas on. I know nothing's going to happen. But, I mean, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, that's funny.
I mean, my wife, the kids are in the room, right? My wife literally cannot walk past me without me grabbing on her. I'll grab her booty at least 50 times a day. You know, I'll massage her feet. You know, she puts her feet over my body in bed, and I'll start massaging them anytime. And I'll walk over there, baby, I'm going to massage your feet. You know, I'll in the morning, I like to hug her, and then at night, I like to go to bed with her in my arms, you know.
For a little bit, and then he gets too hot. So I'm like,
okay. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the truth. That's me too. I'm like, all right, we'll cuddle. Here we go. But, 15 minutes. I'm hot.
Uh-oh.
Am I frozen again?
15-minute timer.
Yeah.
Ding, ding,
I mean,
ding.
My favorite thing to do is taking my girl out, you know? I like to take her out all the time. I like to take her out to the bars. I like to get her, you know, a little tipsy, because then I know it's on. So, I mean, you know, I'm keeping it real. You know, I gotta get my wife drunk so she can turn into my girlfriend sometimes.
Oh, my
sometimes.
God.
So, you know?
She can turn into my girlfriend.
So...
But we still do things for each other.
Oh, yeah.
We still want to go out together. And I think that's, you know,
you
it's
guys
hard,
do.
Especially with the kids, you know, so much our lives can revolve around them. And so it's nice to like connect with one another. And
I don't like going anywhere without her. I really like when I go out with friends, I'm like, man, I wish she was here. So, you know, I miss her. I miss her a lot.
That's sweet.
I freaking love it, man. I feel like we can talk about this all day long, but it is approaching 4:34 and we're going live at 5.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm super grateful for Mike and Vanessa for coming on. We love you guys so much. I can't wait till the quarantine is over so we can have parties again.
Thank you for your honesty and contributing your real life to the podcast. We appreciate you.
Yeah, no problem.
Anytime.
Maybe next time we'll tell you about how she lost her wedding ring.
Oh, no.
So... So
my engagement ring.
Whatever.
We're not married.
So we'll talk about that another time. But yeah,
love it.
Another reason why I don't believe in weddings. I believe in a marriage, not a wedding. So there you go.
But I love that you still refer to her as your wife, even though
she's my wife.
I love that.
So she's my baby mama's.
Hey man, if you guys were blessed by it, leave comments, share with your friends. We truly appreciate it. I'll put Mike and Vanessa's info underneath the comment section and YouTube. If you're not following us on YouTube, go to YouTube, check us out at Mind of Manny, and you'll check out all the podcasts, all the music, all the good stuff. And we're grateful. Subscribe, like, all that good stuff. And we pray you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are truly welcome at ours. Love you guys.
Cool. Bye.
Love you guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Man, this is all I got. Die before they take it from me. I'll die before they take it from me. I can hear the crowd giving encore. I can
can hear the crowd giving encore. I can hear the crowd giving encore.
Come, come, tell me what you're here for. I'm ready for my encore.
To be the best alive. According to some sources, I can stop the trying. I ignore whoever don't add to my life. I'm like Curry when he's shooting, I don't see the line. You can never box me never, dog. I am so bionic, you just analog. Yes, you missed what I was saying, boy, you dropped the call. Man, I'm balling every season, I don't wait for fall. I can hear the crowd giving encore. I can hear the crowd giving encore. I can hear the crowd giving encore. Give me more with an encore. I won't stop, I won't stop. You know I want it. I won't stop, I won't stop. You know I want it. I won't stop, I won't stop. You know you know.
Come, come, tell me what you're here for. I'm ready for my encore.
I won't stop, I won't stop.
Encore.
Ready for me to give up and just die.
Give up and just die.
But the problem is I do not listen at will, so I cannot comply. When they tell me I can, I just laugh and I said I believe I will try. So get out my way, I'ma level the feeling, cause all of my haters get by.
They telling me no,
but I only hear yes.
They
can say what they want, but the problem is I am selectively deaf. You can tell that I'm hungry, guess what we having for dinner. A rack of these fools who said I would lose, I know that they mad I'm a winner.
I can hear the crowd giving encore. I can hear the crowd giving encore. I can hear the crowd giving encore. Give me more with an encore. I won't stop, I won't stop.
You know I want it.
I won't stop, I won't stop.
You know I want it.
I won't stop, I won't stop.
You know you know.
Come, come, tell me what you're here for. I'm ready for my encore.
Four.